Hello. Brandela.
Doesn't come on, I guess.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We will begin with Pasuk 147 after the Lishon Yehud. We're studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Parashat Vayera. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Tevit Kilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Le'afta L'shem Yud Hei Bavate Le'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kananei Hu. Pasuk 147. With Sarah, Shomaat, Ma de Hawa, Mar Petaha Oel, Da Darga Tata A, Idha Dim Hem Nuta, Wehu Acharal, Dio De Lea Darga, Ila Amin Yoma, Da Hawa Tsara, The Almad La Shamat. Mila de kucha barihu, var hahu shata. The translation, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And he asked, what do the words which was behind him mean? Should it not have been written, and she was behind him, as if to say that she was behind the informing angel? He replies, there is a secret here, and Sarah heard it, refers to the words tent door, which correspond to the lower grade, that is the grade, the gate of faith, namely the Shekhinah, which was behind him. Means that the upper grade, who is the Holy One, blessed be He, confirmed the declaration.
Yes.
Since Sarah came into the world, she did not hear anything from the Holy One, blessed be He, save at that moment. My commentary? What did Sarah hear? The Pasuk is telling us that women can receive direct communication from Hashem. And this is important to understand the relationship between Bina and Malchut. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was surprised by the statement saying she did not hear anything from the Holy One, blessed be He.
At that moment. Well, why is that a surprise?
Well, for one thing, I vaguely remember it, but I remember when I did the prophetesses that Sarah, her name was Iska. Also, she was known as Iska, which I think had to do with sight. And knowing that she was at a higher level than Abraham. I would have thought, you know, also when she was taken by whatever his name was. But anyway, I thought she was at a higher level and that she heard from Hashem before, knowing that she was being singled out to be the mother of Isaac.
She is at a higher level. And that's why she did not hear from Zeranpin. She did not hear from Hashem. She heard from Bina directly. Here it's saying that when she hears from the Shekhinah, Zeranpin needs to confirm the declaration. But when she is connecting to Bina, that is the higher level.
Well, I don't see where it says she was connected to Bina, because it mentions a second, which is my food, so.
It doesn't say it. It says it with the concept and the teaching that she was at the higher level. What does she is at a higher level than Abraham mean? Abraham is at the level of Chesed, right?
Right.
What level is above Chesed?
Mm-hmm. Same. Pop Mugino's Chesed Gevurah.
It could be Dot or it could be Bina. More than likely it's Bina because it's feminine.
Well, I don't know. To me, the paragraph was saying, you know, that she was at a lower level. That's kind of the impression I got. Not anything about being at a higher level or at Bina, you know. Just that was just reading on the surface.
The secret here is the words tent door. And we've been taught before that the tent door represents Malchut, which is the gate of faith, which is the lower level, and that is the level of the Shekhinah. And the lower level is behind him. What is the meaning of behind him? We know what is behind. We've heard it elsewhere in the Zohar that behind is a code word representing the next level down or the next sefirah in the flow, however you want to perceive that. But we're also taught that the feminine is at a higher level than the male. And that's clear in the Tree of Life. Bina is female. Zeranpin is male. Malchut is female. The connection to female is higher than the male when she has elevated to that point. But Sarah, who was in pain from not having a child, how can that, can you be in pain when you're thinking about others, when you're at the elevated level? You're not in pain. You've removed your pain when you're dealing with others, when you're thinking of others. But when you're in pain because I don't have a child, and Hagar does have a child, and that creates pain for me, that's indicating a lower level. The verse does not say she was at a higher level because you're talking about children. And it's very difficult for someone to be happy that another person has a child when you don't. But that is the way we strive to grow spiritually. That's the Yesser Dibrot that says, do not covet. What is it really telling us? To be happy that the other person has whatever they have. Be happy for them. It will remove your pain. Spiritual growth is never easy. Did I go on, or do we want need to talk about this more?
Well, if this were the beginning of the chapter, I would have said, let's stay on it, or let's go on. But like I say, this one puzzled me. So
I hear you. I understand, but I think if you contemplate it, you'll begin
I'm kind of in a joking mood. You know, if you're in that much pain for a child, let me loan you one for a couple of weeks. And I'm trying. That's the thought I had this whole paragraph. When I think of the sleepless nights and the, you know, having to go for a ride in the car to put them to sleep, or go to give them the bottle that they have projectile vomiting and it flies across the room and they're allergic to milk and they don't sleep and, you know, you're going through all this. Those are the things that went through my mind. You know, having a child is a very strong instinct in a woman. I mean, I think it just, I've known a few that just did not want children. In fact, two of my friends did not want children, and they never have had children. Now they have, you know, they're now older. I don't know if they feel any different. But one's a nurse, so she's caring for people, and I'm sure that feels something in her life.
And, yes, as well. And always remember, yeah. We're dealing when your friends are in this current generation. And I mentioned yesterday that the current generation is a different framework, in my opinion, than the earlier generations, where Sarah is clearly one of the earlier generations.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, having a child is a very strong instinct, very strong desire, but it's built into being female. And the care, the anticipation, the fear, the concern of raising a child is, you know, very much part of that, and, you know, in the moment can be, you can really feel like, why did I have this child? And it's one of the reasons that after birth, a woman is supposed to say the Hagomel, the prayer that brings the light into the empty womb. But that, because you used up that energy, and the explanation on the physical level is that because of the pain of childbirth, she must have cursed her husband. But I always bring this up, and I hope it's helpful to you. You know, I was watching the Johnny Carson show back in, you know, 50 years ago, and they had a 100-year-old woman, and they brought out all of her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and they were all on the stage, and Johnny Carson is doing an interview of her, and his rather reasonable question is, with all these children that you've raised and then been involved with the raising, what's the worst age for children? And she didn't think too long. She said the worst age for children is between 40 and 50. And when you think about that, that's really where is the worst age? Because your children are always your children, and you're always going to be concerned with them.
Well, you know, I always wanted about a dozen of them. And then I became a teacher and I taught first grade. That kind of cured me of that.
Yeah. Brandy, may I, with all due respect, just remind you, what did you end up with? A whole bunch of baby pet dogs and cats and whatever else is in your house.
And humans and everything else.
Yes. So the instinct was still there. Even if it was cured, it's still there. Came out in a different way.
It did. That's so funny.
I'm sorry, did somebody else want to just say something?
No, I just made the comment that was funny.
Let's go on to 148. Sara petachau hel begin lemishma bilin wehi yo shamat by mila peit basar ba Avraham wehu acharav Avraham dahawa yate vachoro ishkinta. The translation. Yet another explanation is that Sarah sat at the tent door in order to listen to their words, and she heard the good news Abraham received. This is why it is written, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which he was behind him. It means that Abraham sat behind the Shekhinah. My commentary. Does it mean that Sarah listened to Abraham's conversation? Why would she do this? So that she can help give him advice? It is better to see for ourselves a situation rather than hear another tell us what happens. Learn this well. Sometimes one needs to relate the story, and the hearer must see the situation being related to him verbally, clearly, as if he was involved in the incident. This is why two witnesses are required in a court of Torah. Questions, comments, thoughts? I don't know if I'm moving on too fast. We should go back to 148.
Well, no. The funny thing is I was trying to find some link between Sarah at the door and hearing the news and Samson's mother also being visited by the angel. And so in my thought process, I was trying to see if there was that maybe a second witness, because I always, you know, you'll always find there's at least two or three similar situations, or what I call a witness. You won't just see it just one time most of the time. There'll be another example somewhere else within the Tanakh. And so that's what I was thinking through Samuel, not Samuel, but Samson's mother. Hazelpoint was her name.
I really don't see that this is really an alternative thought where it starts with yet another. I don't really see that in this verse.
No, because the angel actually appeared to Hazelpoint, whereas the angels were really with Abraham with this story.
Right. Maybe we should just go on to 149.
Okay.
We Avraham v'Sarah zakenim bayim bayamim my bayim bayamim shirin diyomin diyitchazek dein leho had be'ah v'chad tishim alu biyomin shira diyomin kid kayaot bayim bayamim kedavar acher ki vahayom hi arav yomal me'al. The translation. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in days, literally coming with days. And he asks, what is meant by coming with days? And he replies, this means that they are coming to the end of their days. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. They reached their full of days, as is proper. Coming with days can be read as, for the day has come, which can mean that the day has ended. Here as well, coming with the days means that their days were completed. My commentary. If their days were completed, why did Sarah live an additional 38 years? And Abraham even more. This teaches us that our days are never completed as long as we are looking forward to future events. This is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I guess because their names are Abraham and Sarah, they've already received Hashem's hay with their names. Each of them getting a hay.
Correct.
Which would have made a difference. So, and I mean, this was a miracle birth. And you know, with the other miracle births too, which to me it's showing that God can do anything, that Hashem can do anything. You know, nothing is impossible.
Thank God that nothing is impossible for God, because we all need miracles.
Mm-hmm. And after, you know, after we in advanced reincarnation, when we saw how many soul sparks made up Elijah, it made me think of myself and how through the years I really identified with certain characters. You know, like there was Rizpah, who wouldn't, she was there shooing the birds away from her dead sons, and my daughter was real, real sick. And I mean, it gave me the, you know, I don't think I thought of it as certainty back then, but it gave me the encouragement to think, well, if Hashem could answer her prayer by talking to David, and her sons were dead, well, surely I could talk to him, and he would keep my daughter alive. And that happened. And, you know, I think of other biblical characters, and it's those characters that gave me the strength during whichever episode in my life I was going through that I could identify with what they had gone through. And which, you know, helped me see that all things are possible with God. I had a friend this week. She said, well, the only thing is, I know God can do anything, but she said, I don't know if he would do it for me. And I told her the story about having two cards in your pocket. One is when you think you're really somebody. You know, you think to yourself, you're just a worm.
Right.
But when you're feeling low and you think Hashem won't do this for you, then you pull out the other card that says, he created the world for me. Now, this person has dementia. She's in, well, she's still doing good, but she has some bad days. And that just cheered her up. She said, oh, I'm going to remember that. So, I think we all have to see that, and especially, I guess, when we get older, if God could do that for Sarah and Abraham at 190, well, what can he do for us right now at 81 and 83? So, now, that's probably not what this verse is trying to get across, but that's the way. That's the way I see it today.
Well, we're out of time, but I want to just finish the one last verse in 150.
Okay.
So I'm going to skip the Aramaic and just read the English. And the manner of women ceased to be with Sarah. At that hour, she suddenly saw herself having pleasure again, as the manner of women revived within her. Thus she said, my Lord being old also, meaning that Abraham was too old to be able to beget children. However, she did not say that she herself was too old. My commentary. What do you think you can learn about yourself from this pasuk? There's a lot to be thought about here, but we don't really have the time. And, you know, we can talk about it another time if you need. But there's a lot there.
Well, especially knowing that she didn't have a womb, you know, she didn't have a uterus. That's really,
it's significant, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, another thing that I got across from the story of Abraham and Sarah was the idea that the name change, especially upon conversion for myself, changed our DNA pattern, because it had to change their DNA pattern in order to be able to conceive a child. And so those extra hays really had power was also showing me the, you know, the power of the olive bat.
Very true.
You know, and especially since they got the two hays, which Sarah's yud was equal to 10, you know, then you just keep opening up little, just aha moments, you know, with Torah and Hashem. And that's when these characters become real to you.
True. We are out of time, so you all have a good evening, and I hope to see you at the 7 o'clock class, which is a regular Zohar class.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
We also have a Psalms class tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom. Bye.